إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, it was requested from me to give a brief talk to our sisters, those who have organized the lectures from Cardiff, UK, and from Mashhad Sunnah in Cranford, as well as Mashhad Rahma in New Jersey. And the topic that was mentioned for myself and the other brothers to speak about is centered around advice, which is a very broad topic. But it is something which is legislated that the sisters, they have their specific lectures, or they have lectures specifically catered to them. This is something which is legislated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. To the end of the verses, Allah azza wa jal mentions, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. And the most important individual that we must give great focus to is the Muslim female. It's the Muslim female. Because indeed she is the mother, she is the wife, she is the first teacher, she is the one that spends most of the time with the children and the likes. So it's extremely important that we give due time and focus to the affairs of the Muslim female, and not just the adults, but likewise the teenager. Likewise the teenager, because indeed there is a major gap. Indeed there is a major void if we look at what is available in terms of Islamic lectures, in terms of Islamic reading material. We find that there is a major void as it relates to the Muslim teenage female. And there's no doubt that the shaitan, he takes advantage of that. He takes advantage of that because if he can spoil the Muslim teenager, and it's the male and the female, but being that the lecture is focus on the females, I'm going to address the females. There's no doubt that that void and that gap and that negligence which is present for the Muslim teenage female, the shaitan has taken advantage of that. Because in general, what takes place in the masjid, the books that are printed and the likes of that, you don't find that they're focusing on the problems of the Muslim female teenager. And the shaitan is pleased with that. So indeed, when we, and this is an encouragement for the sisters and the masajid, indeed when we organize these types of lectures, we should seek from the speaker to try to address some of the problems of the Muslim teenager, specifically the female. Because if she comes to the masjid and she feels that the speaker is only speaking to the females that are married, the ladies that are married and the ladies that are working and the likes of that, and likewise if she goes to the bookstores and she only finds books that are either on a very high level or on a very low level, because we know that there are plenty of books, materials available for Muslim children. And there are plenty of books available for adults. But what about the teenager? What about the 14, the 15, the 16-year-old girl? What do they find that are addressing their problems and the likes? Likewise, with regards to it being legislated for the females to have their own lessons and that which focuses on their needs, as we know the hadith that we've mentioned many times in Sahih Bukhari, where the females came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they mentioned that the men are taking over, the men are taking all of your time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a designated time and place where he taught them and addressed their needs. Now, keep in mind, that was not only adult females. That was not only adult Muslim females. That was also teenagers. Because at that time, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very young, and many other, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was very young, and many other sahabiyat, many other sahabiyat were very young at that time. You know, so this is something that we need to focus on. But in general, yes, we have to give great focus to the females. It was mentioned by Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh Habibullah ta'ala, the Minister of Islamic Affairs in Saudi Arabia. He said, إِذَا نَظَرْتُ مِنْ جِهَةٍ أُخْرَى. He said, if we speak about, because he was talking about a lecture, he said, if we think, speak about something else, نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ هُنَا قِطَاعًا عَظِيمًا فِي الْمُجْتَمَعِ بَلْ هُوَ نِصْفَ الْمُجْتَمَعِ يَحْتَمْ بِهِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ الْإِحْتِمَامِ الصَّحِيِّ. He said that there is another tremendous part of the society. In fact, it is half of the society. And actually, I'm going to say it is more than half of the society. But he said it is half of the society. بَلْ هُوَ نِصْفَ الْمُجْتَمَعِ. It is half of the society. يُحْتَمْ بِهِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ الْإِحْتِمَامِ الصَّحِيِّ. That people should focus on in the affair of Islamic propagation. Not just propagating Islam, but also teaching. Teaching Islam and propagating Islam. أَلَا وَهُمُ النِّسَى. He said, verily, they are the women. Notice how he described it. He said, قِطَاعًا عَظِيمًا. There is a tremendous sector, a tremendous portion of the society, and he said it is half of the society, and I'm actually going to say that it is greater than half of the society. It is greater than half of the society, because did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that during the latter days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned there will be one qawwam, there will be one man responsible for 50 women? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there would be one, during the latter days, there would be one man responsible, a qawwam, one man responsible for 50 women, that informs you that the women are even greater than half of the society. That informs you that the women are even greater than half of the society. And with that being the case, there's no doubt, yani if the women are greater than half of the society, then there's no doubt that there's a tremendous amount of focus must be given to this as he described it, قِطَاعًا عَظِيمًا, this tremendous sector, this tremendous portion of the society. Then he goes on to say, حَفِظَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he said, تَرَى, and then he mentioned that the women are the sisters of the brothers, تَرَى أَنَّ كَثِيرِينَ مِنَ الشَّبَابِ اسْتَقَامُوا. He said, we see many young youth, young males, they're being upright, they're coming to the religion. They're being upright, they're being righteous, they're coming to the religion. وَحْتَدُوا, and they have been guided. لَكِنْ مَا نِسْبَةُ الْمُقِيمَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. But how many young girls are becoming upright? Girls, how many women are becoming upright? He said, أَلْمَرْأَ مَغْفُولًا عَنْهَا. He said, the woman is neglected. The woman is neglected. تَصَلَّتَ عَلَيْهَا أَدْعِيَاءَ الشَّرِّ. The people of evil, the callers to evil, they have conquered her. فَفَتَنُوهَا عَنْ دِينِهَا. And they have distracted her from her religion. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ. Except the person that Allah Azza wa Jal has had mercy upon. وَحَبَّبُوا لَحَ الشَّهْوَاتِ. And they have made the desires beautiful to her. وَهَبَّبُوا لَهَا التَّفْرِيتَ فِي الْوَاجِبَاتِ. And they have made being negligent of the obligations, they have made it beautiful to her. So the desires, money, wealth, status, all of the beautification, exposing yourself and the likes of that, they've made it beautiful to her. And yes, we see that in front of us. Social media, the television, the glamour, the music, everything is pulling the woman to what? To expose herself. To expose herself, to expose her hair, to expose her body. And understand something, this is even greater for the Muslim teenager. This is even greater for the female Muslim teenager at the time where the desires and the hormones and the likes of that is kicking in. There's no doubt if that's a fitna for the Muslim woman who is in her 30s and 40s, imagine what it is for the Muslim teenager at that time in her life. So they're making it The desires, they're making it pleasurable to them. The obligations, they're making it or being negligent of the obligations. The obligation of hijab, the obligation of staying in the home except for a need, the obligation of, you know, all of this, covering yourself properly. They're making her negligent of this. Everything in the society, and we know that to be the case, everything in the, especially in the Western society, even in the Muslim society, when a'udhu billah, you know, but obviously it's more in the Western society, everything is telling her that no, you know, show yourself. Let you should be heard. You should be seen. And Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, as Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu yad'u ila dar salam wa yahdi man yasha'u ila sirat mustaqim. Allah Azza wa Jal calls you to the place of peace. Allah Azza wa Jal calls you to the place of peace, and He guides whom He wills. You know, and we know the statement of the shaitan, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. The shaitan says, Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the shaitan gives his khutbah to the people of the hellfire, he says, Allah promised you a true promise. And I promised you and I went against my promise. So that's the reality. What we see in the West, what we see in the media, what we see with the clothing designers and the makeup designers and everything is to make the woman negligent and make her to distract her from fulfilling the obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon her or has ordered her with, and she would have Jannah. Na'am. So he says, وَحَبَّبُوا لَهَا التَّفْرِيطَ فِي الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَحَبَّبُوا لَهَا عِسْيَانْ وَالِدِهَا وَعِسْيَانْ زَوْجِهَا إِلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مَنَ الْمُشْكِلَاتِ. He said, and they've made it beautiful to her to obey her parents, to disobey her parents. They've made it beautiful to her to disobey her husband. To other than that, from the problems that we always hear about. Then he says, لابد من مخاطبة المرأة أيضا. So we have to address the woman. We have to address the Muslim female, whether she's a teenager, whether she's older. We have to address her. ومخاطبتها بِنَشْرِ الدَّعْوَةِ فِيهَا. And we have to speak to the women and spread this Islamic knowledge, this Islamic awareness. وَتَعَرَّفْ عَلَى مُشْكِلَاتِ النِّسَاءِ. And we have to know and allow them to understand the problems from amongst the women. What are the... Now, look at what he says. أَتَعَرَّفْ عَلَى مُشْكِلَاتِ النِّسَاءِ. We have to know what are the problems of the females. This is something extremely important. And go back to the hadith that we mentioned earlier, in Sahih Bukhari, where the woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, the men are overwhelming. Ya Rasulullah, give us some of your time. Why? So that they can hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that the problem, and so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could hear from them. They would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explain to them their problems. The woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. The woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is not shy from the truth. They're seeking clarification. They're seeking understanding. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, may Allah have mercy upon the Nisa al-Ansar. May Allah have mercy upon the Ansari women. They did not allow shyness to deter them from seeking knowledge. So that shows you the women during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're not saying older women. We're not saying 30s and we're not saying 40s. We're saying the women. It was general. It was general during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the women were strong seekers of knowledge. They were strong seekers of knowledge. So then he mentions, لَا شَكْ أَنَّهُ مَجَالٌ مِّن مَجَالَاتِ الْمُحِمَّةِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِذَا الْمَرْأَةِ هِيَ الْأُمْ وَهِيَ الْأُخْتُ وَهِيَ الَّتِي تَقُومُ فِي الْبَيْتِ وَهِيَ الَّتِي تَتَحَرَّكُ. He says, so there's no doubt that the opportunities and the importance of da'wah amongst the women, it's important. It's grave. Why? Because she's the mother, she's the sister, she's the one that's in the home and takes care of the affairs of the home, and she's the one that moves around. She's the one that moves around. And obviously the men, we provide. You know, the men, we should be the providers, but the women, in terms, they're responsible for everybody. They take care of the husband, they take care of their parents, they take care of the kids, they take care of the home, they take care of this, they take care of that. So the reality is, you know what he says, وَهِيَ الَّتِي تَتْحَرَّكُ. She's the one that moves around. She's the one that moves around. Now the reality is, when it relates to this affair of advice, And this is an affair that can go on and on and on. This issue of advice can go on and on. But what I want to shed some light on is the scholars and the students of knowledge and the females, not just the males, but the females, they've been advising. They have been advising constantly, and this, you know, they mentioned sisterhood, unity, and knowledge. Constantly, we've heard about sisterhood and unity and knowledge. So where are we falling as our Muslim sisters? Where are we falling short? Where are they falling short? Is it that we always need new advice? Is it that we always need something which is exciting and the likes of that? Yani, it wasn't enough that, you know, reading the book of our Lord, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, reading the hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Riyadh al-Salihin, listening to the lectures of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, which are present in English, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, the lectures of Sheikh al-Albani, the lectures of Sheikh Muqbil, the lectures of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, the lectures of Sheikh Rubia, the lectures of Sheikh Ubaid. We've heard constantly, over and over, advice to the women. But why do we still find the problems? And the reality is, if we were to take a deeper look, we would find that they're not getting less, they're getting more. We would find that the problems amongst the sisters, the teenagers, the communities, they're not decreasing, they're increasing. So where are we going wrong? This is something that we need to look at. We don't just need to add new advice and new advice and new advice. No, why are we implementing the old advice? Is it it's outdated? وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Is it that it doesn't apply? وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ No, it's being neglected. So the reality is, for my sisters in Islam, is that it's not important to have something new and exciting. It's not important to have a new speaker to listen to, a new talib and the likes of that. No, what's important is that we take the advice that the ulama have been giving us as Muslims in the West. We take the advice that the ulama have been giving us for the last 15 to 20 years and we implement it. And we implement it. We know, with regards to knowledge, with regards to sisterhood, with regards to unity, we know a lot. We know a lot in that regard. We know a lot in that regard. But the problem is, you know, we know a lot in that regard. But the problem is, we find that many of us are not, it's not important for many of us, and this is a flaw, it's not important for many of us to implement that which is being taught to us over the last years. Instead, we want something new. We want a new speaker. We want a new way of listening to the knowledge. No, that's not what we should be focusing on. That's not what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on implementing that which has been brought to us, even if it was brought to us 10 years ago, even if it was brought to us 5 years ago. Not that there always has to be something new. This is a culture that must be changed. This is a culture that must be changed. Other reasons, that's one thing. So that's one thing why we find we're not getting anywhere. Another reason why we find that we're not getting anywhere is because it's possible that there is lack of sincerity in that which we're doing. It's possible that there's lack of sincerity in that which we're doing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. And the ulama say it means fear Allah and Allah is the one to teach you. Doesn't mean that, some of the ulama say it doesn't mean that from the conditions, some of the ulama mentioned that the two verses are not connected, but some of them say no, they are. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ Fear Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal would teach you. So the reality is, one of the reasons, one of the things that we also have to focus on is our sincerity as it relates to implementing the knowledge. Do we learn new knowledge and listen to new lectures and read new books so that we can implement that which we heard? So that we can implement that which we heard? We know it was the way of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they would hear 10 verses from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Afwan, they would hear 10 verses from the book of Allah azza wa jal, and they would not go past those verses until they implemented that which was present in them. Until they implemented that which was present in them. So the reality is, one of the major hindrances for us is lack of sincerity. One of the major hindrances for us is lack of sincerity. We know the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the first three to be thrown into the hellfire on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And some of the ulama, like Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his Nuniyah, mentioned that these are even before the kuffar. That these three Muslim individuals are even before the kuffar. He said, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِمْ لَمْ يَعْمَلَانْ مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلْ أَهْلِ الْوَثَنِ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his Nuniyah, he mentioned that these people are thrown into the hellfire even before the kuffar. Why? Because, and we know the hadith, that they taught the Quran to be said, what? That he's a Quran teacher. That they fought jihad to be said, what? That he's brave. That they gave charity to be said, what? That he's generous. And Allah Ta'ala would say to those individuals, it was said. Yani you received your reward. And they would be thrown on their faces and dragged to the hellfire. The reality is, this is not why we learn knowledge. We don't learn knowledge. We don't listen to lectures. We don't read books so people can praise us. We do it so that we can implement it. Which leads to the other thing. The other thing is muraja'at al-nafs. We have to bring ourselves to account. We have to focus on ourselves. We have to think about, am I implementing that which I heard? Am I being addressed? When the scholar says we have to stop being from these individuals that cause problems and this and that. The person has to, you know, what does a person do? They leave the masjid or whatever and they say, see, you heard? The student or the scholar said we have to stop being from these type of people. That sister needs to stop that. That sister needs to stop that. What about yourself? What about yourself? Are you sure? Are you sure that you haven't fallen into that which the scholar is warning against? That's something that you need to really contemplate over. It was mentioned in Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala last year. The question, بعض الطلبة العلم إذا سمع توجيهات من العلماء ونصائح لطلبة العلم يظن أن المقصود غيره فلا يحاسب نفسه ولا يراجعها ليصحح نيته فهل من نصيحة في ذلك. It was mentioned in Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, some students of knowledge, and it's all of us. It's reality, all of us, as the Sheikh is going to say. Some student of knowledge, if they hear the advice of the scholars, if they hear the direction and the advice of the scholars for the students, they think that the scholar is always talking about others. So the person does not bring himself to account, and he does not correct his intention. So what is your advice? The Shaykh said, Hafizullah Ta'ala, what did Shaykh Saleh, Al-Allama, Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan said, say Hafizullah Ta'ala, he says, Na'am, huwa kathalik, rubbama nakunnu kulluna kathalik. He said, Na'am, this is accurate and correct. And it is possible that all of us are like this. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan is saying this, Hafizullah Ta'ala. He said, it's possible that all of us are like this. حينما نسمع الوعد والوعيد حينما نسمع الوعد والتحذير نظن أنه موجه لغيرنا. He said, when we hear the warnings, when we hear the threats and the warnings, we always feel that it is directed to other than us. مَا نَسْتَحْذِرْ أَنَّهُ مُوَجِّحْ لَنَا. We do not keep in mind that this is directed to us, every individual. Every individual who hears the warnings and admonitions and the punishments, everyone is being addressed. نَقُولُ هَذَا عَلَى غَيْرِنَا هَذَا عَلَى الْمُفَرِّتِينَ هَذَا عَلَى الْمُتَكَاسِلِينَ طيب وأنت لست مفرط. This is what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said. He said, we always say, this is not for us. This is for those who are negligent. These are for the lazy people. Then the Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, okay, what about you? You're not negligent? What about you? You're not negligent? He said, أنت. He said, طيب وأنت. أنت لست مفرط. أنت لست متكاسل. ما عندك نقص. He said, you're not deficient. You're not lazy. You have no deficiencies? Look what the Shaykh said, Hafizullah Ta'ala, to the end of the answer. To the end of the answer. So the reality, this is one of the major problems, is that when we come to the masjid and we hear about, you know, sisters dividing the ranks and sisters causing fitna in the community, we always like, yeah, see, he's talking about them sisters. And we don't think that he's talking about you, sis. He's talking about you. And there was another thing mentioned in that same lesson by Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafizullah Ta'ala. And we did that lesson when we was doing Ilathat al-Lahthan. He said in that same lecture, in order for a person to bring himself to account, and she, we're saying women, in order for a female to bring herself to account, she always has to consider herself deficient. She always considers herself deficient, so she tries to seek to better herself. She tries to seek to better herself. This is what the Sheikh mentioned, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Another reason that we have the same problems is because many of us are ignorant. It's because many of us are ignorant. We're not seeking knowledge, and we see it now. Many of us are not seeking knowledge like we were, you know, when we first came into Islam, like we were years ago, when we first heard about Salafi and the likes of that. Many of us have slowed down. But the reality is, there's no slowing down. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. There's no sitting in between. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرُ For those from amongst you who want to go forward or to go backward. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, based on that verse, there's no standing still. There's no being stagnant. We constantly say, I'm stagnant right now in my deen. There's no being stagnant. You're going back in your deen. There's no being stagnant. You're going back in your deen. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, والأسباب المانعة من قبول الحق كثيرة جدا فمنها الجهل به وهذا السبب هو الغالب على أكثر النفوس فإن من جهل شيء عداه وعاد أهله. He said, and the reasons why people don't accept the truth, any implement and the likes of that, is because of ignorance. He said, oh, the reasons are many, but from them is ignorance, and this is the most apparent reason. This is the most apparent reason is because an individual is ignorant. So the reality is, yani, when you need to learn more. You need to learn more. And then when you learn more, you need to realize how much you don't know. You need to realize how much you don't know, and that allows you to do what? That allows you to humble yourself. That allows you to humble yourself. Another reason why people don't accept the advice is because they are dazzled with themselves. They are really into themselves. They are really into themselves. They feel they know everything. They feel that they're on Sirat al-Mustaqeen. They feel that they're on some uprightness in the religion and the likes of that. And that goes against what Sheikh Salih Fawzan says. He says that you have to consider yourself to be deficient. And that's why, look at the Sahaba. If there was anyone that was complete, it was the Sahaba. Those who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, day and night. Why did Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, al-Faruq, the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the shaitan walks in one path, if Umar walks in one path, the shaitan walks in an opposite path, on another path. He was min al-ashra mubashirin bil jannah. He was from the 10 that were told he would enter into Jannah. What did Umar ibn al-Khattab do? He went to Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. He said, I ask you by Allah, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention me to be from amongst the munafiqeen? Umar, this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was scared to be from amongst the munafiqeen. So one of the problems that we have is that we feel that we are it. We feel that, you know, I'm it. You know, I'm on istiqamah, I'm salafi. I'm learning, I'm memorizing, nobody can't tell me nothing, you know, and the likes of that. It was mentioned by Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And actually, it was before Imam al-Dhahabi, it was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Majmu' al-Fatawa. He said, أَلَا تَرَى أَنَّ الَّذِي يُعَذِّمْ نَفْسَهُ بِالْبَاطِلِ يُرِيدُ يَنْشُرْ كُلَّ مَا قَالَهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ خَطَأ. Don't you see the one that, you know, he reserves himself, he brings himself, he holds himself at high status, even if he's not upon the truth. He wants to assist, he wants to support everything he says, even if it's a mistake. And Shaykh al-Islam is saying this person is, he's admonishing this person. Likewise, it was mentioned by Imam al-Dhahabi, فَكَمْ مِنْ رَجُلْ نَطَقَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَيُسَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ يُعْذِيهِ لِسُوءِ قَسْتِهِ وحبه للرياسة الدنية. Then he said, how many people speak the truth? Look at the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi. How many people speak the truth? And he orders with good, but Allah brings someone to harm him because of his ill intention. Yani, he's speaking the truth. Allahu Akbar, the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. This person is speaking the truth and he's ordering with good. He's upon the truth. But Allah causes him to be harmed because his intention is not the truth. His intention is to show off in front of the people. His intention is to show off in front of the people. This was another thing that was mentioned by the Salaf rahimahullah ta'ala. And he's always mentioned, even Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the person that has this pride, he's like the Jews. This person that has this pride is like the Jews. He says, وَلِهَذَا تَجِدْ الْيَهُودِ يُصَمِّمُونَ وَيُسِرُّونَ عَلَى بَاطِلِهِمْ لِمَا فِي نُفُوسِهِمْ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْحَسِدْ وَالْقِسْوَ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكْ مِنَ الْأَحْوَاءِ. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, and because of that you find the Jews, they are persistent in their falsehood because of that which is present in within them from pride and jealousy. From pride and jealousy. Allahu Akbar. Yani these statements of the Salaf, these statements of the Salaf are tremendous. Why? Because the reality is, my sisters in Islam, and I have to end the lesson, the talk now, because we have a lesson with Sheikh Luhaydan after a few minutes, Habibullah ta'ala. But the reality is that there's major reasons. There's major reasons that are going on within the community that is hindering us from accepting the advice and implementing the advice and progressing. There's that which is major. In closing, I want to mention one thing which was mentioned by Abdullah Al-Wadi'iyya, Habibullah ta'ala, in one of her books, and it's a new book where she mentions Sifat al-Mar'a Saliha, and we hope that the book is being translated now from the characteristics of the righteous woman. And she mentioned this while she was talking about the mercy, you know, because the lecture was about unity and sisterhood. So in that part of the book, when she spoke about mercy and sisterhood, she mentions how after she mentions all the proof about unity amongst the Muslims and amongst Ahlus Sunnah and the likes of that, she mentions a statement from her father. She mentions a statement from her father, rahimahullah ta'ala, and she says, from that which I have obtained from my father, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that a female is strong. A female is strong when she's with her sisters, and she cannot accomplish anything alone. And she cannot accomplish anything alone. So the reality is, I wanted to mention that after mentioning some of the proofs and the likes about unity, but because of the time constraints, we have to stop the lecture now. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.